On this episode of Cubs Out Loud, we delve into what makes a good handle or screen name and how we came up with ours. It's an eye-opening look on what to consider when you're choosing your name. COL 202 starts now. Sunday, March 10th, 2013. I'm Jeff.
Me, not that kind of orc.
I'm Damon.
I'm Eric.
Oh, that's attractive.
And I'm Gary.
Sassy gals, get the hose.
Welcome to Cubs Out Loud, the Bear Podcast, Vintage Term and Length, episode number 202. And I got my Venice Cub t-shirt.
Yay. Oh.
Bitch.
Kendall, did you get your Kendall
shirt? You haven't gotten yours yet?
No, in fact, I'm not getting both of my shirts because they ran out of one of them.
Oh. They were limited.
So I'm only getting one out of the two that I ordered, and apparently that one's not even here yet. So.
Oh.
Sorry.
Damn right.
Then I just got paid this weekend, so I'm also I'm going red this time around on my purchases from the Bear Underground Marketplace, the tank top of which I am currently wearing. And I'm getting a red shirt with the Bear Underground logo, the complete one, not just the paw, and a red baseball cap. So that's my purchases for the week.
Cool.
Otherwise, the week was weird, mainly because, I don't know, I think I wasn't feeling well. And it's like, myself in and of itself is just fine. It just, for some reason, was like, I was like, freaking freezing, but my apartment was 75 degrees.
Huh.
And I took an Advil, and everything was fine.
Hmm.
And my temperature, I checked my temperature even, and it was fine. And it was just kind of, and I felt really lethargic during the week, and it, I don't know, it was just really weird. I just felt off all week.
It sounds odd.
Mm-hmm. Recorded an episode of COL Movies, so that's up. Brand spanking new format where we just basically start recording, talk, stop recording. It's the easiest edit ever. I just find the starting point, I find the stopping point, and I put the themes at the beginning and the end. That's it. It's all live. To hard drive, baby.
Awesome, awesome.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
So that was my week. So what the fuck did you guys do this week?
Well,
I'll go. Oh, no, go ahead.
Mine's short and sweet. I didn't do anything. Thanks for asking. That's pretty much true. I watched Wreck-It Ralph yesterday. Chester had some family over we haven't seen in years, but that was about it.
Interesting.
Yeah, I watched that too.
I actually haven't seen it yet.
I think it was well worth getting the entire... I got the Uber package, which basically is the Blu-ray, 3D, the DVD, and the digital copy.
Cool.
So when I got it, I was like, oh, I want to make my meatloaf here, but I also want to watch this, but then I have to also, I have recording of COL Movies in about the same time, so I need to get this meatloaf working. So I popped the DVD in to my laptop, and I watched that while I was cooking my meatloaf, putting together my meatloaf. Then I set that down, and then I decided, you know what, I want to watch this on a bigger screen because I'm not doing anything. It's the meatloaf's in the oven, we're good. And so then I pulled it up on my digital copy and was watching it on my bigger monitor. Then, like, know, I'm an idiot. I'm not doing anything. I should be watching this on my big 40-inch television. So then I pop the Blu-ray player in, the Blu-ray disc into my Blu-ray player, and then watch Star Wars the movie from there.
Wow.
I will say it's got the coolest feature I've ever seen. It's got intermissions built in that are hosted by Chris Chadwick of The Nerdist. And every time you press pause, it'll play a different intermission talking about little Easter eggs and things in the movie while you're on pause.
I never paused the movie. I didn't see any of that.
Yeah, so they go through like all the graffiti that are on the walls or who's drinking what at the tapper at the tapper bar.
Oh, that's neat. And that's on the Blu-ray? So,
yes, that was on the Blu-ray. Yeah.
Was it on the Blu-ray or the Blu-ray 3D? It didn't seem to have the feature from the package that I got.
I got the exact same package you did, and I watched the Blu-ray, and this was on it. It's in the special. It's in the special features. You can turn it off or on.
Because I saw that for the deleted, for the commentaries, or the deleted scenes. Oh, yeah.
Are we getting echo?
Yeah, I think we're getting echo from somewhere.
Huh.
I'm not sure where.
I'm not either.
Let's see. Is it me? It sounds like it's me.
Nice. Mm. Okay.
Okay. Well, still getting echo.
I guess I'm going. Start the clock. The clock, ladies. It's gonna take some time.
Okay.
I've been doing a Biggest Loser great thing at work. And on Tuesday was the last weigh-in, and then Wednesday was the big finale, as it were. I've lost 11 pounds. Woohoo.
Congratulations.
I'm happy about that and looking forward to losing more. I'm not going to stop just because the contest stopped. But Wednesday, the night before, there was the big quote-unquote snowstorm that hit Cincinnati and all over the places. They were saying we were going to get like 6 inches of snow and there's going to be ice and blah, blah, blah and all this crap. And I think maybe we got 3. The joke was obviously, you know, must have been 6 AOL inches and whatnot. But, you know, it was fine. Got to work Wednesday. We're going to have a really big finale with this special guest talking about something. And, of course, he canceled because I'm guessing it got worse somewhere else and she just couldn't make it in, whatever. So we had a quick and easy finale of that. Didn't win anything. My team didn't win anything. It was just a lot of fun. Had chorus rehearsal Wednesday evening.
Cool.
Awkward pause.
Sorry not to pause every time, but I do. So. We're getting ready for our ABBA concert, which will be a lot of fun. And we've got choreography for, obviously, Dancing Queen. That'll be hilarious. Let's see what else happened. Something else happened. Nothing else the rest of the week. But last night, my husband's theater had a fundraiser. They have a fundraiser every March. It's Luck of the Irish, a casino-y game night kind of thing. It wasn't well attended, unfortunately, but the people who attended had a lot of fun. We did Texas Hold'em Poker, which I suck at, apparently. I will have like really great moments and I'll do really well, and then all of a sudden I'll just blow. And then we also had blackjack and roulette, which I hate to say it, no one played. But the highlight of the evening was the food. And we had, and if I can find a picture, Irish pub crawl cupcakes. They are a Guinness stout cake.
Mm-hmm.
It's Jameson's whiskey Knoss filling. And topped with Bailey's frosting. They were good. They were really good. My husband was calling them Irish car bombs, but I think they're more than that. But, you know, it was. And now, I'm here.
Hooray!
That was only about 3 minutes and 52 seconds, so that wasn't too long.
What?
That wasn't too long.
Yeah.
That was... Gary?
All right, so I had a very busy week.
Ah.
A lot of work projects, stuff to take care of. Kind of same shit, different day. Had a meeting on Tuesday with the host hotel for the run. Apparently, we sold it out, which is a challenge.
Awesome.
An unexpected one. Yeah, I would be happier if it wasn't for the fact that I wasn't expecting that to happen.
Oh.
Like, we didn't... The amount of rooms is... The amount of total rooms available in the building is like 50% more than what we had last year.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that we've sold like another 40-some rooms than we did last year is the part that I'm kind of like, oh, that's cool. And at the same time, not what I expected. So, yeah. Had a meeting with the hotel on Tuesday. Went back, had a different meeting with the hotel Thursday. Have another meeting with the hotel today. It's just been meetings and meetings and meetings. You know, just trying to get that stuff together. So I'm probably going to be nothing but dealing with run stuff now that we're like 4 weeks away. And all that happy, happy stuff.
Nice.
I'm trying to think if there's really too much of anything else. odd random thing. I had a FedEx package and they scared the shit out of me when they knocked on the door. Well, I think it's because my office is upstairs on the second floor. Normally when they do deliveries, it's during the day and I work from home and I never really ever hear them knock or ring the doorbell. But I happen to be downstairs and they knock, but they knock like the police were going to break in. I mean, that's why it scared the hell out of me. Like, I'm just sitting on the couch and all of a sudden it's like, bah, 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 and I'm like, holy shit. And I, you know what I mean? All I could think of was like angry neighbor or SWAT team. Like, it was really, so I was very timid answering an opening door. And here there's a woman, FedEx delivery person outside, and she's looking at me and I'm looking at her and I'm like, okay, this is not what I expected. So she turned around and she, you know, can you sign for this? I was like, sure. And I actually said to her, I was like, you scared me. Your knock was a little loud and aggressive. And she kind of chuckled and she said, well, sometimes we have to be like that to see if anybody's home.
Mm.
And I thought, I ain't messing with you.
I've heard that sometimes because that's the – I've had that happen before with like my pizza delivery people. I've got a doorbell. My neighbor has a doorbell. They're right next to the door. And it was the other day, and I just happened to be sitting here, and I had ordered something, and all of a sudden I hear like a bomb, 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 bomb. I'm like, you guys have been here before. It wasn't the same person, which is why I figured they knocked. But it just seemed weird that they didn't hit the doorbells that are clearly indicated. Like one that has my name above it, you know. Oh, well. To each their own.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that was a little standout oddity for the week that Someone sounded like they were going to break in.
Yeah.
She was just trying to get me to come to the door to sign for package. The package.
It's...
Yeah, it was kind of strange.
And that's everybody's week.
That's what everybody they did.
Moving on. Obviously, no Ben's Bitch of the Week. And apparently, no Damon the Boy update today.
No.
Wait, we do have a Ben's Bitch of the Week.
Ben's Bitch of the Week! Okay.
Ben is on the beach right now in sunny Galveston, Texas, and the sun has receded and it's raining on his parade. That is Ben's Bitch of the Week.
Ben's Bitch of the Week!
Okay. There's more.
There is.
Yeah, he just posted something like a minute ago.
Okay, so we're watching, but
I'm seeing Matt.
Wait. We should pre-read it before we read it aloud, just to be sure.
Are you kidding? No. Straight to hard drive here. Live to hard drive. Let me try to do this in Ben. Ben, I'm steaming mad. If I wanted to hang out by myself all fucking weekend, I would have had just stayed in Lubbock because I would just get a flight on American Home. So as long as I'm going to have a shit time, I could do it in the privacy of my own home.
Wow. Dope. And he's got the emoticon with the frowny face and red eyes and fire behind it.
Yeah. Needless to say... He's scheduled for a vacation and got crap. Unfortunately, it seems like Ben is just continuing his stream of bad luck.
There, Ben.
Hopefully he gets some good ones. Anyways.
Well, hopefully it improves.
And that was Ben's Bitch of the Week! Okay.
Now it's stereo.
Anyways, moving on to my movie moment, The Great Mouse Detective.
Oh.
Yeah. So here's how all this came around. Something was going on. I was playing WoW, and we got to this point where you're riding this cloud serpent, and I'm like, cloud serpent, Mulan. And I'm like, I know Disney made a deal with the Netflix for some streaming stuff. I wonder if it's on there. So I pulled it up. No, it's not. But then I'm like, oh, let's see. What's other types of animations? And then when I looked into the kids and TV so I could see the Disney movies would be listening there, I saw The Great Mouse Detective. I'm like, I actually saw this movie in the theater when I was 5 or 6 with my parents while we were on vacation somewhere. So I have actually fond memories of the movie, and I'm like, okay, I haven't seen this in forever. So I popped it on and watched it, and it's just, I do have to say, it's one of their, you know, mediocre movies. But
yeah.
Vincent Price is the voice of Radigan, and just the insanity that is Basil of Baker Street is just amazing. And it's such an enjoyable little film that I think everybody should see. Probably even own it. I mean, it's streaming on Netflix now, but pick up the Blu-ray, man. Keep it high def and have it available.
Can I just say you had such better parents than mine? Do you know what my parents took me to see when I was a kid? Mm. When I was 4, they took me to see Jaws. And then wouldn't let me go. They wouldn't let me go when I was screaming. Oh. And then the next movie I remember seeing, I just lost it. It was equally as bad. I think it was Full Metal Jacket.
Oh, God.
And then, by the time I become 12 or 13, all they'll ever let me see are G-rated movies because I'm obviously too much of a bitch to take an adult movie.
Wow. Oh, dear God.
So I salute your great mouse detective.
Wow.
And then, of course, when Little Mermaid came out, we'd see Little Mermaid and then Beauty and the Beast and Aladdin, The Lion King. You know, all those movies when I was a kid. So, wow. Yeah. 1986 was The Great Mouse Detective. And I tell you, some of these, you know, the non-big movies of Disney movies are still really great cute movies. Yeah. I mean, obviously they don't do the level like that. What I determined to be the beginning of the new generation of of Disney animation, which was the quadrilogy of Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, Lion King, and Aladdin. Those were like this big, huge, enormous, magnificent movies that they had. And then you have a Cinderella, Snow White, and I can't think of any from back then that was also really big. But
Sleeping Beauty. No, yeah, I don't know, maybe not as big, but it's the one that's usually forgotten.
I mean, well, Sleeping Beauty has Maleficent.
Yeah, yeah. There, so. Well, the day's no Maleficent. I'm talking more along the lines of just in general.
We only talk about that because it's gays.
That sounded like a generalization.
but then you have these movies in between, such as like one of my absolute favorite Disney movies is Robin Hood. The one
I love that
one. Fox and Baloo is the bear. I mean, the Jungle Book. Actually, the Jungle Book was actually pretty good, pretty big one. You've got Fantasia.
Yeah.
Which is amazing in so many different ways. Fantasia 2000, which is pretty much the same thing. And then they have those mini ones where they did like Fun and Fancy Free and stuff like that. But the Disney movies were great. And this one, The Great Mouse Detective, is a great kid's version of a Sherlock Holmes story.
Yeah.
I mean, the characters are... Basil is Sherlock Holmes. I mean, it's really just a mouse version of Sherlock Holmes. Dobson is Watson. it's a great story. And of course, they use a kid as the person in trouble, who needs help from Basil Baker Street because, well, it's a kid's movie. They need to associate the child, being like, your father was just kidnapped by a bat with a broken wing and a peg leg. What are you going to do? I'm going to find the great mouse detective. Basil of Baker Street. So, I great mouse detective. On Netflix streaming, I got a link on the website to the Blu-ray.
You can also watch it on Amazon Instant Video.
Oh, is it on Amazon Instant? Okay.
IMDb, it is.
Go to our website and click on the link and buy the Blu-ray. Or go to the website, click the link, and then watch the rental or something. I don't know.
There you go.
Use my link.
Whoring out again, huh?
Anyways. Moving on, this week's topic, we're talking about user IDs, online IDs and handles, what we use, why, what we like, what we don't like, what it says about you, and what reactions you get is the basic summary behind this. So let's talk about my username, Box Puppy.
Please explain.
I think I've said this on the previous version of the show, but Box Puppy actually comes from a couple of things, from two major things. One, my favorite band in all the world is Garbage, and two, I was very new to the bear community when I created this user ID. So at the time, I was a skinny little bitch, so I'm just kind of coming out to the whole gay world, and I'm searching around, and I come across this Yahoo group called Bear Youth. It's like bears, cubs, otters, and puppies. I'm like, what the hell is a puppy? And then somebody defined it more of like, it's like the cub version of an otter. You know, an otter is like, you know, if a bear is husky, hairy, and homosexual, otter is slender, hairy, and homosexual. So build type's a little bit different, right? But still hairy. Cub is kind of like a younger version of younger-ish version of a bear and sorry, just distracted because somebody mentioned me who was supposed to be here a little while ago, probably, but thought, forgot about something. Hold on here.
Dun, 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 dun.
All right, hold on. Okay, so I classify myself at that time because I was a skinny little bitch. I consider myself more like an otter. Like an otter, but more like the cub, so I was like a puppy. Not knowing anything about the whole other puppy thing, okay? And no one defined it. No one talked about this. So I'm like, okay. And at the time, I was obsessed with Garbage. And one of my favorite songs of theirs is a song called My Lover's Box. And so I'm like, and I was actually using a user ID, My Lover's Box. My Lover's Box, By My Lover's Box, YLSF. Long story on that one. And that was like, My Lover's Box, puppy.
Aww.
Box puppy. So I just dropped the My Lover's. That's where my user ID came from. And I have done some things. Like, I have my alternative Twitter account is Box Cub. And my Tumblr account is boxcub.tumblr.com. So I'm more of a cub now, so it's box, should be Box Cub, but I use Box puppy all the time, everywhere, because that's what everybody knows me for. So that's my story.
Very, very cool. So it answers the question, you are definitely not looking into play in your box from behind, puppy style.
Right. Yeah. Dog, yeah.
A long history of usernames. It comes probably from being of that generation where the year I graduated from high school was the year they introduced the World Wide Web. So early on, it wasn't difficult to come up with a handle because everybody used the same sort of thing. It was your name, where you lived, and what age you were. So throughout the 90s, I had a long string of Eric 18 FW, Eric 19 FW. And quickly you came to realize by the time you hit 25 or so that it's just not worth it to keep updating your location and your age every year because nobody knows who the fuck you are when you have a birthday. Particularly when you were in a big area like Dallas where you've got thousands of people in. So I started to look for another title. It was a big thing for me back when I was still in Texas not to use Cub at all because at that time in the bear clubs around there, if you put yourself in as a cub, you were instantly labeled a bottom. And the next thing you know, you've got somebody sticking their fingers in your ass in the bar every other night of the week.
Wow.
So I chose Bear, and of course I was mostly hanging out with friends from Dungeons & Dragons gaming groups. We had a huge all-gay Dungeons & Dragons gaming group at the time of about 15 or 20 people.
Awesome.
And so I started going as Gamer Bear right around 2000. And of course, I'm old now, so every time a new service has come out, I've always signed up to try it because I like to try things out. So I end up being Gamer Bear on about 75 to 85% of the sites that you see.
Nice.
Huh.
And at this point, I see a lot of people ask me for the name on occasion, but fuck them. I've had it now for 15 years. Find something that fits you.
Nice.
Well...
Gamer Bear. I mean, and hate to say it, that's kind of a good, you know, if that's kind of what you're into, you're a gamer or whatnot, or it works.
Yeah. I met my partner through gaming. You know, we do board games, card games, video games. We do all that stuff. Not always at the same time. Right now, we're pretty much just doing video games for a while, but it comes and goes.
Yay. Awesome, awesome.
But I would highly recommend, if you're thinking of a handle for yourself on websites, try to avoid the whole location and age thing. I still see a lot of people doing it.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's one of my pet peeves with user IDs is, you know, I kind of can understand why you'd say you're a guy from Minnesota and you're a Cub and you're 21. So you have a nice description. So we've already got your profile right in your user ID. Why should we even look at it? Sorry, that was just my little outburst on that. There was a Cub at 21. He did fix that. He's under a completely different user ID.
We all know somebody. We all know somebody that you see on every single personal's website from Bear411 or whatever who have their name as like Hot Bear 29.
Yeah.
And they've been Hot Bear 29 since you were 29, and that was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Of course, they
and
could
they
just
still
be...
put in their profile that they're 29.
And, I mean, you could also be like Hot Bear 29, but you just did that because you were putting in a random number.
And you look at the picture, and yeah, they're still wearing their Kangles and their Nirvana t-shirt and flannel shirt from the last time they had their picture taken.
Nice.
Shortly before I graduated high school.
Nice. Oh, goodness.
I thought the topic was about user IDs, not user profiles.
Well, sometimes the user ID ends up going back into profiles. I mean,
I was just putting a little of that indeterminate into our length.
I know.
There are some though that do have their, you know, their location in their screen name, which is okay. Like I have a friend who's Cincy Cub, and he's been Cincy Cub because he was born here, he was raised here, and he still lives here. You know, I don't think he's ever really left for any, you know, long moment of time or whatnot, you know. So Cincy Cub works for him and it fits, you know. He's a Cincy Cub, you know, or
just
Cincinnati
not,
Cub or whatever.
Not wanting to go anywhere. I mean, if he doesn't need anything.
Yeah. You know, he's happy here and he has his life here. So, haha. There are the ones that, you know, like my friend Lee, who is Ohio Red Bear, who is Canadian. And lived in Ohio for a while, then lived in Pittsburgh, and then now lives in Arizona, you know, but he's still Ohio Red Bear. But the only reason he's Ohio Red Bear is because he can't change his profile, his screen name. You know, there are some websites, Bear 411, that won't allow you to change your screen name. Even though you've moved, you know, halfway around the country, across the country, I mean.
Mm-hmm. That's a danger of location.
Yeah. That is the danger. If you happen to move or you are forced to move, you know, yeah, it does kind of suck. But at the same time, you know, if people take a moment and, I don't know, looked beyond the screen name and the pictures, might understand it. Oh, he lives nearby me. Huh. Interesting. Doesn't take much.
Nope, not at all.
No. For me, I've actually had a lot of different screen names. Mostly depending on what site I'm on or anything like that. I started on the World Wide Web and I had one of those really bad screen names. It was KY College Guy 98. I'm from Kentucky. I was in college. I'm a guy. And I started college in 1998. It was perfect, I thought. unfortunately, you know, I'm now 30-something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm living in Ohio. Not going to college anymore.
If they see 98, they're going to think you're 19 years old.
Exactly. So I don't really use that one that often, although I still have it, and I still have the email address and everything. I just don't That's Yahoo. That was Yahoo chat back in the day. You know, so that's what that was for, and I don't really use it anymore, much anymore. I'm barely even on Yahoo Messenger. But after during that same time, I was big on. There were like anime groups and Yahoo chat and stuff like that that, you know, did a little. Is it? I guess it would not really role playing. That just doesn't sound right. But it was
non-sexual role playing.
Yeah, non-sexual role playing. You know,
gaming.
Yeah, gaming RPG. Things like that. Yeah, and I was called. I had another screen name, Phoenix Crusher. And sexy. Yeah, and it was awesome. Because it was a fun little name that meant absolutely nothing to anyone unless you knew what it meant. But then I moved to Cincinnati, and I can't remember what I first chose on gay.com, but I wasn't Theater Cup 79. I was something else. And I can't remember what it was. I think it was Sin Scorpio. CinScorpio, which, you know, Cincinnati Scorpio. I'm a Scorpio. So, hey, it worked. Broad enough that I could keep it, even if I kind of moved away. Easy enough to remember. But finally, I went to Theater Cub 79 because I love my theater. I'm a Cub, and I was born in 79. It fit. That's the one most know me as. And I've not had any issues, although the main issue that I tend to have is that I spell theater. T-H-E-A-T-R-E. And I've had people look for me under T-H-E-A-T-E-R. And they're like, I can't find you. I'm like, well, are you putting in R-E or E-R? And I'm like, E-R? I'm like, well, crap. No. Yeah. That's why you can't find me. No, well.
Well, if you spell theater correctly...
No.
Jeez, everybody knows it's R-E, not E-R. Theater is theater with the R-E is the performance of. Theater with the E-R is the facility. Don't you know the difference? Man, you're such an idiot.
Hey.
I know you do. I'm just talking about, you know, you saying to people who are trying to, who are misspelling your names, so.
Oh,
I'm like, no, yeah. I meant the act of theater, not the place. Dude, shut your head. Yeah, no, I actually used theater as a password for a long time because it was a theater minor. But it was always with the R-E because that's the type of theater I was talking about.
It's because you're talking about the theater.
I'm talking about the theater.
About the theater.
Theater.
It's a way of separating the boys from the men, so to speak.
Ha! There
so,
you go.
So R-E is the men, and the E-R is the boys.
Well, I was thinking more along a sophistication line.
Okay.
Or a pompous attitude line, just depends on how you look at it.
Good point.
Well, thank you. Thank you. You've made your point. Thank you. as we knock my name yet again.
No, your name is you like watching theater, and you're a Cub. You were born in 79. This is very permanent stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, so the user ID is great, just like mine. Although the puppies, something to be said about that. No, I've been Box Puppy for over 15 years. I am not changing that part. I'm playful.
It's one of those. You're a puppy, but you're not a puppy.
Yeah, but I'm not a puppy in that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
And plus, I like dogs, so
I like my
puppies. I like my dog puppies.
Aww.
Like my Zonibus. Zonit.
Uh-oh.
Hi, Zonit. Over there on the couch. Just staring at me. Come here. Come here.
Wow.
Oh, my baby girl.
Jeff plays with his pup. Gary's is pretty simple.
Let's see. Gar, probably short for Gary. You're a bear and you were born in 73?
Slight clarification.
Okay.
Well, because it is kind of funny. When, I mean, you guys are correct. And I definitely agree with Eric. Did we lose somebody?
Yeah, we lost Eric.
Did we?
Let's see if we can get him back.
May have lost Eric.
Yes,
I think we lost Eric.
Eric. Or I'm calling him back. In any case.
Keep going.
I didn't realize I was going to be so boring. I'll try to not take it personally. So, as I was going to say, I agreed with Eric in that when people are looking to pick a name, it'd be best served if what is picked or decided on is something that describes you as opposed to locate you or limits you, I guess, in defining and describing who you are. Because when I picked mine, I had started to pick up on the fact that a lot of people at that time were doing the age and location thing. And I realized that I was going to move around in my lifetime. And so that wouldn't really necessarily work.
Yeah.
So I thought about it and I had been given the nickname in some couple different workplaces of Gare Bear because of my name being Gary and people thinking of me as a bear, so to speak, kind of like a teddy bear. And many of us, I think all of us on the cast are familiar with the Care Bears from the age of our generation. And so that, to me, that's kind of where that comes together. Now, the funny thing is, because my name is Gary, and a lot of people called me Gare Bear, I never presumed when I came up with my online identity that I would have to put the Y or the E in it. Because to me it was, you know, it was common. In fact, some people I know called me Gare, just G-A-R. So when I created my online name, I just, you know, G-A-R-B-E-A-R. And then, you know, the year of my birth, I figured helped make me a little distinct. plus I was also having a cub identity crisis, so to speak, that I wanted, even though I was picking the name Bear, I knew I was younger at the time. So I basically, you know, but I knew I was a member of the bear community. I was trying to, you know, I was trying to find my place basically. So I came up with my name, but over the years, the funny thing is when people first see it and they don't know my name and they haven't heard it said out loud, they usually do say Gar Bear.
Gar.
And still to this day, usually every couple months, multiple times a year, someone will contact me online on a site like, say, Bear Underground. And they'll be like, oh, you like to smoke cigars? So do I. Because they think the G-A-R is a shortened form of cigar, as in, you know, I like cigars and I smoke cigars, to which I feel bad because I have to explain to them, no, actually, my name comes from my actual name, not the fact that I smoke cigars.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's and then I feel bad because those conversations stop immediately. They don't really say anything else afterwards.
Oh, that's too bad. You don't get that. Oh, that's too bad. You're hot.
Ooh. Does someone go outside?
Yeah, there's a lot of white noise.
And a mic. Somebody's mic accidentally switched.
It might be me. I did get disconnected and reconnect.
Interesting.
Well, now it's better.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But anyway. Yours, it's funny because I didn't even think of that until you mentioned it, Gary, the cigar thing. Because I do know some, you know, cigar heads and or whatever you want to call them. And there are people that have like their interest of like cigars in their head, you know, like are in their screen name. And they actually have like names of cigar companies or brands or types, you know, those I can kind of deal with, you know, it's something you like. But in my head, if you're a cigar head and you see your name and then you see your real name, I would first make that connection. Gary Gare. Okay, yeah.
I think that when I first saw your user ID, because I knew your name before I saw your user ID, I was like, oh, Gare Bear.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so I do have to laugh, though, because I remember I used to have debates with people years ago when I very first picked my online nick to go by on pretty much every site. But, you know, a couple years into it, some people were like, well, how am I supposed to know? It doesn't, like, it's not spelled right. Like, they would argue with me about the spelling of my own nickname. which maybe David could relate to. You know, people get a little uppity about how, you know, it's not what they expect or how it should be spelled. And I was like, yeah, but if I put a Y in it, then it's Gary Bear. That's not how, like, hello, it's Gare Bear. And they're like, well, you should put an E. I'm like, there's no E in my name. So, like, I haven't had to get all OCD, ADD on people and be like, what's the matter with you? Like, learn how to spell my name.
Yeah, and if you put an E in there, people still could say Gare Bear. So,
yeah.
I mean, it ends up being like, you know, there's no way we can really do this right. So, yeah. You're just going to have to go with G-A-R, Bear, and just as long as you know my first name, you'll probably understand it just fine.
What are some of the things that you hate or really dislike that instantly maybe turn you off or dissuade you from a guy just based on the screen name? I know it's hard to do that sometimes, but.
Throwing a fetish right into your name.
Oh.
I don't know about that.
Well,
I can understand that, but.
Yeah. For me, if you're blank fuck pig 62, it tells me that you're only coming online to look for sex.
Good
point.
I'm not necessarily coming online to look for sex. I'm usually looking to socialize. It's like I don't even bother because I'm afraid it's going to end up in three lines being want a vid cam somewhere. I'll tell you right now, if you ever try to vid sex me, all I could do is laugh and laugh and laugh because I hate talking to a penis.
That actually makes so much sense. I wouldn't want to talk to a penis either. I would really rather.
They're not very good conversationalists.
No, they're not. Oh. No.
Now, I don't know about all that. Let's not, you know, start judging and putting the cart before the horse. Sometimes a conversation with a penis can actually be very stimulating.
But I'm bump.
No, I disagree with Eric. If you have a fetish and it's in your online nickname, I appreciate knowing that because it cuts out any mystery. It tells me right up front whether or not I might be interested in talking to you or getting to know you.
So do you think that the user IDs...
Something.
Yeah, so user IDs should be kind of like a mini version of a profile?
It's
not going to give you the complete thing, but it's going to give you this initial idea. And so it's like a Fisterman 39. You know, Fisterman is like, okay, I'm totally about handballing. So let me see if he's either top or bottom. He's probably a top because he's a Fister.
Not always.
You know, and then you jump in and be like that. But then other people like me being like, oh, he likes fisting. Not interested. Move on. And don't even look at the profile. So it's kind of like a shortcut.
I don't know.
But I still get the idea that I mean, if anything, you know, being on a recon and having your name as Fisterman, which I'm sure somebody has their user ID as Fisterman.
I'm sure.
But you have Fisterman on recon versus like Twitter. You know, if you're Twitter and you're really just using that for socialization, unless you have the Twitter account for your Fisterman identity from recon, I mean, that's one thing, but then you have your own, you know, personal one. Like, I have Box Tech. So I just kind of got in this obsession with just the first part being Box and then modifying the second part for various things, such as, like, Box Cub, Box Tech, Box whatever.
Puppy.
Box Caster. Actually, that's a Skype user ID. It's Box Caster because I was going to use it for podcasting. So I have this whole thing with the prefix of Box and then whatever. So, so I've got two Twitter accounts. I've got, Box Tech, and that's my regular, plain, ordinary, I friend up anybody who I'm friended. Box Cub is locked down private and is hooked up to my Tumblr account. And think of what goes on my Tumblr account. So that's my more private thing. So, but I have this different ones. Box Cub obviously demonstrates that it's my sexual identity, and Box Tech is more of my personal identity, and Tech is more because I'm into tech. I like working with computers and playing with electronics. When the iPad started coming out, I was like, oh, using a tablet, that would be cool. I can use it. I've been using it in my bedroom to control my bedroom PC so I can watch Netflix on there without having to have a wireless mouse and keyboard. I have this pad, and then I can switch between apps. Well, so I got my second screen experience if I need it, etc. So, I mean, there's lots of... so that's why I got Box Tech, and then Box Cub is more that sexual identity, so I can split that up. But having a fetish or something in your name, some could say having bear in your name is still a fetish, because it's the type of, you know, you're in part of the bear community, could be considered a fetish.
In a sense.
Very minor, but...
In a sense, yeah.
I would say if you're going to pick a name, I like, Jeff, what you've done, that you've modified it for different aspects of your online identity. I think if you want to put, like, as we're talking about right now, a fetish into your name, recognize that you're kind of probably excluding a universal usage.
Yeah.
Like, like on Facebook or Twitter or, you know, whatever online representation you may have. And that's why I went with mine, because I wanted it to pretty much just be universal anywhere in the world. And pretty much any site, anything that I've been able to create, I don't have too much competition. It's rare that I have someone that's already taken it. And kind of like, maybe it was either Eric or Jeff, one of you guys said something about, like, when something new comes out, you tend to like grab it first, even if you don't necessarily use it, just so that you have it. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, here's the thing. It represents you. You need to think about how you want to be represented.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A perfect example would be Chester. God love him. When we moved up here to Pennsylvania, Chester decided he was going to use the name on this new service called Gmail, Uncle Chet, because he was communicating only with his nieces and nephews. Well, that only lasted about 3 months before he started expanding into all the other usual social network sites, at which point everybody thought he was a pedophile. Because apparently in pedophile communities, uncle is a very common term for a guy looking for children.
So
we had to stop that one right off the bat.
Oh, no.
And, you know, an extra 5 minutes worth of thought may have cleared all that up for him.
Oh, that's so sad. The innocent, you know, thought and idea just gone a really, really bad direction.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same, you know, very similar, not very similar, but similar to, like, you know, Jeff and Box Puppy. You know, it's nowadays puppies are, there's a definite like community and fetish and all that stuff. And I know Jeff's not into that. Well, I don't think he's in, not in, you know.
I thought I made that clear.
He's not involved into, in the community.
Yeah, well, I mean, not that I'm freaked out or anything, but it's, I mean, if somebody's
you're not in the community.
Yeah, if I'm in a place and, you know, you have the pups playing around, you know, I would treat them how we should be treating pups. Yeah, they come giving over, you know, no, they sit and they look at me. I go, oh, what a cute boy, you know, and I just let them do their thing because they're just doing their thing. I mean, what more can I say about that? But that's not a thing I do. That's all.
Yeah. So there's the you know, I don't know if you've yet run into someone confusing you for someone who is into it.
Oh no, no, yeah, I have. Okay. Fortunately, it was a nice, quick little. No, I'm really not. Different reason.
Cool. That's what I was. But oh gosh, I wish I could remember a screen name I had that. I remember there are screen names that I've seen that have been weird. And my husband is an example. He likes finding, like that's actually how we met. Because one of my screen names on AOL was just kind of my name, DM Baba. And he thought it was weird and wanted to know more about why I had that screen name. So he struck up a conversation with me. That's, you know, actually how we met. So it's kind of funny. Or started meeting, let me rephrase. But, you know, there are odd screen names that do take our peak in interest, as it were. Names that have initials that aren't necessarily like a state or an abbreviation of like a state or a city or something like that. Those I tend to look at a little bit more because I kind of go, oh, what does that mean? What else is one? Huh. But yeah, it's just, it can be interesting. It can be odd. Like you say, a screen name is our user ID. Is oftentimes a representation of yourself. And if you don't think about it too much, you're going to end up with something that might give someone the wrong idea of you. Some things that I tend to not
like
are screen names that are subjective. Like Hot Bear or Good Looking Cub or Sexy Bear or something like that, you know. Those are pretty conceited in a sense, because unless they're a cute little nickname that your, you know, boyfriend or husband or ex-partner or someone has given you, no. Because it sounds to me like you're, I'm the best thing ever. I'm the, you know, the fucking shit, and you're not.
Well, you also have to look at it as some things like if you won the Hardest Texas Bears Honor Run, you'd be Mr. Hot Cub or Mr. Hot Bear. So it's not necessarily that they're Hot Bear. Well, obviously, it would have been a Hot Bear if they won the competition. But you would have this title. For example, Tim is Mr. Hot Cub of 09 or something like that. I don't remember which one he was. And he got that name on YouTube. So he's the only reason why he's Hot Cub is because he was Mr. Hot Cub for Heart of Texas Cub for that year. So there could be some other things behind it. But yes, the sexy such stuff. It doesn't bother me as much. I'm like, hey, whenever I see that, I'm like, I'll be the judge of that. And then I get interested and then I look at it and work from there.
I would say this. I agree with Damon a little bit. I think once I see a name, I look at the profile.
Robot.
And then I determine whether or not it makes sense. Hang on a second.
Yeah, Gary went Cylon on this for a moment.
I think the echo was actually a kind of a forewarning that it was going to happen.
I'm really starting to hate this headset. Is this better?
Oh, yes. Much better.
Yes, it is.
I just need
I'm going to have to return this damn thing to the store.
I'm sorry.
So anyways, for me, you know, it's fine that, you know, someone, you know, picks a certain profile name, but I have to agree with Damon. Like I sometimes I get a little turned off and then I go and I look at the profile, and if they have a shit ton of pictures of themselves, you know, all a la Project Runway or whatever, then then I really definitely think that they're conceited and I have no interest because I have no time for that.
Yeah.
If you have, you know, like a name that seems pretty self-indulgent, but then I see all your pictures and you seem, you know, pretty normal, and normal being a really bad choice of words, but basically, you know, you're a decent person, you know, and that, and it doesn't look like, you know, you've spent $1,000 for high end photography and all this kind of stuff. You know, and you're not trying to put yourself out there with a title or something, then that seems fine. So yeah, I don't know. I have to agree. Sometimes I kind of get turned off because I'm like, because there's a part of me that then has no interest in getting to know you then. Because I'm like, really? Yeah. All right, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, there are some that I can go, you know, and they're, you know, okay, I can get why you consider yourself sexy. Yeah, I can kind of get that. And I'll look at your profile and okay, here you go.
Make your own decision.
But most of the time, if you have stuff like that in there, I just go, you know, you really think a lot of yourself. And I mean, sometimes that can be a good thing, but other times it's not. Most of the time it's not.
So let's dictate some of the rules of a user ID for optimal user ID-ness. So to do is basically make something that's permanent, that's about you, that won't change. So that means on the do not side, do not use a location because you may be moving. You could probably use a location if it's something like a nationality sort of thing, like Brit Bear. So yeah. If you're British, you know, I could probably understand that. So you're a Brit, but, and you can live anywhere in Britain and maybe you'll come to the States, but you're still a British bear or something like that. You know, that's probably fine when it comes to location. Yeah. Means. You know, so origins would probably be okay. So I could say I'm a Kingston Cub because I was born in Kingston, New York. But you know, not many people would know that. Although technically my parents lived in Socrates at the time, but Kingston had the hospital that they had to go to, but that's beside the point. Don't use ages. Years are fine for, you know, specific significance. And it doesn't, while birth year is probably the optimal one for that, you could probably use it for some sort of other type of significance, but it has to be some sort of permanent significance. Like maybe I put in a box cub 01 because I turned 21 in 01. So, I mean, that could be something that would work when it comes to dates. So permanent date structures are fine on that, but otherwise, do not use ages. Just don't. Okay, bad idea.
Because at some point in time, you're gonna, you know, your birthday's gonna come, and you're gonna be a year older.
Well, so. and it just makes it complex. The older you get, you know, even if you're willing to stick with, like, let's say you're young, and you know, and you pick, you know, Cubby Love 23. Well, there's going to be a day when you're nowhere near 23. And now everyone has to know you by a new identity because you're trying to catch up or update yourself.
Yeah. The idea is to try to minimize any changes, much less get rid of it. I kind of should have a change by going to Box Cub at some point in time, because I'm definitely no longer the original version of the definition of puppy that I was using for the user ID. I just don't, because I'm still playful. Anyways, so that's kind of basically anything that's going to have some sort of variableness. Like, one thing that would be, I think would be okay, is like a couple profile. So, so Zach and Dave, 13, because they met in 2013, and they're it's a couple one. The only thing is that won't necessarily be a permanent profile, because
I hate those. Two could
split up.
I absolutely hate those, because I've got friends up here who do that, and one of them is a very gregarious, outgoing person who's all about flirtatiousness and partying and playing. And his partner is exactly the opposite. He's a great guy, but he's very serious, and he loves deep, esoteric conversations. And they never, ever, ever think to say, hi, this is Eric, and this is Dave. It's always whatever, and you don't know who you're talking to until you flat out ask them.
Yes. Oh,
okay, so change of definition. Never, ever have a couple profile.
Well, unless you're willing to start every conversation with, hey, Eric, this is Dave.
Yeah, I agree. I've had, except I know a couple here in Ohio. They're O-Bears. And one of them is actually the person that always chats on there. He's the one that's always on there. But I know that, and I'm sure most people do. If you know that, and it's one of you specifically that's using the profile 90% of the time, then yes, you know, by all means, you know. But if the other guy happens to, you know, your partner is happened to be chatting one night and is on the profile, might be a good idea for him to say, hey, this is, you know, whatnot, because you could, some people could get in some trouble. you could have been having a really nice, fun, kinky conversation with the one partner, and all of a sudden, oh, the other partner's on, but you don't know that, and you mention something or say something, and they're like, what are you talking about?
What on what table? What?
Exactly. And you're like, oh, crap. I've got to go. And so does the partner, because he has to go scream at his boyfriend.
I guess I feel when it comes to the couples thing, if I see an online identity of a couple, I presume that they have a really strong relationship that they've decided to exist as an entity as opposed to being individuals. Mm. So if it's Bob and Joe, then to me they become an entity of one. In fact, I've had best friends who have been in couple relationships, meaning it's, you know, two people in a relationship. And what happens is their name identity becomes one thing to people. So it's almost like the individuals don't exist anymore. So I understand that, but I also understand it's difficult to know who the hell you're talking to if you're like trying to chat. I think one solution may be to have three identities, or as many identities as necessary, so that each person is solo as well as the couple.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I realize that might be a little complex for people to figure out or follow, but, you know, if it's, you know, Bob has his own profile and Joe has his own profile, and then they have a profile together, which is Bob and Joe, or, you know, Bobby Joe or Joe Bob or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I think that's, it could be a possibility. I personally don't necessarily understand it, but that's not the way I'm built to want to take me and my partner and make a singular identity out of that. I'm an only child, and I'm far too independent for that kind of thing.
Yeah, there was a time that Jim and I were thinking about having a dual profile on Bear 401 or something like that. And I just, every time we thought about it, we just nixed it, because one, I'm online all the time. Okay. All the time. And having a dual profile when it's really just one of us most of the time just doesn't seem like a good idea. Yeah, you can talk to both of us, and that's great, but most of the time you're really going to be talking to one of us. Nah.
I couldn't imagine sharing a profile with Chester. Well, he's the far more outspoken and fun-loving one of us, and his sexual proclivities are not... I'm open to all sorts of people, and he's open to white fat dudes. Which is fine, except white fat dudes tend to be very pushy when it comes to sex.
Oh.
And I couldn't imagine dealing with all that shit. Oh. No offense, I'm a white fat dude. We're some needy bitches.
Basically, he knows because he is one.
Yeah. I like to think I'm one of the more laid back ones, but I don't really know.
Okay, we're going to get off topic because I'm trying to understand this. How has this been determined that fat white dudes are pushy? I'm not seeing this.
I've been seeing a decade's worth of the text messages he gets from guys. And it's just, it's hilarious some of the things that people come up with. This has been all over the country too, not just here in Pennsylvania, but it's always, I want you to drive 45 minutes to 3 hours away, come over here, suck my dick, fuck my ass, now. And then if you say, God help you, I have an appointment, or sounds hot, maybe another time, they get so petulant. It's just hilarious.
This could be a really interesting topic.
I would never ask somebody to travel hours for sex and then just leave, you know? Okay. Call me old fashioned. At least have dinner.
I'm kind of agreeing with Damon on this. I think we need to create a new show topic, and it's explicitly about trends that we've discovered in our own experiences.
Ooh.
I'd I'd be curious to know if we all agree with each other or not on the trends that we've each individually picked up on.
Yes. Let's do that. Good.
Jeff, what do you think?
Jeff?
Sounds good to me. I'm terrible at figuring out topics. If you want to do that topic, let's do it.
Fat white dudes.
I mean, there's a reason why we have the topic stock and matrix for programming.
So. I think it would be interesting to figure out if there's trends that maybe we have sort of figured out, but maybe nobody talks about yet and haven't come to the surface, or it's just experiences that keep repeating themselves in a cycle. So you think it's a trend and then everybody else is like, nope, it's just your experience. You might call it, it's your shitty life or something. I don't know.
Nice.
And I don't want to be racist here. I've just noticed it's the white guys. It's not the Asians. It's not the blacks. It's not the Latinos. It's always the white guys.
Well, the question is he into any other color but white?
Sometimes. It's much more rare, though.
Oh.
He always says he doesn't chili with chocolate, but then occasionally there'll be somebody who breaks the rule.
The exception to the rule. Yeah,
exactly.
I've known that. I've been that often. Yeah.
Oh, really?
It's me.
Another show.
It's me because I don't know what the hell I want. It's never the same thing, so he can't point people out to me. He tends to say it's just nerdy dudes.
Nice.
Nerd.
Huh.
Well, like I said, this is another topic.
So, anyway. Unfortunately, we derailed Jeff and his rules of creating an online identity.
I mean, I pretty much got everything covered.
We've got them.
Make sure it's something permanent. Make sure it's something that's about you. You know, in my case, it's my love for garbage and the community I'm a part of.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty much it. And that's really permanent things. I should know. I have two tattoos of garbage symbols on the back of my shoulder blades right now.
Oh.
So, I mean, I better like Garbage for a long time. I haven't not liked them yet. They put out a new album. We're like, my I Hate Love is freaking awesome. You know, so I'm all about the Garbage. So I sure hope that is. And I'm all about the Bears. So my ideas work for me.
I think the one thing to keep in mind is if you pick your identity, be ready to explain your identity. Yeah. If it isn't self-apparent, let's say if it's pretty highbrow or esoteric or whatever big words you want to use, if people don't naturally get it, be ready to explain it, but don't get pissed about it. Mm-hmm. And be defensive and angry because people don't understand it. I mean, if you are that way, it's probably a part of your personality that you're gonna go that route emotionally. But the truth of the matter is, just, you know, recognize that not everyone's gonna understand it.
Yeah, be proud of it.
Yeah.
You know, you be like, I'm proud of my love for Garbage. I'm proud that I'm a Bear. You know.
Yeah.
Of course, me analogizing.
And be ready to deal with in a nice, sensible way when someone doesn't get it and kind of maybe causes, you know, strife. Because, yes, my name is Theater Cub. No, I am not a drama queen. Shut up.
Obviously, if that's the case, you'd be Drama Queen 79.
Exactly.
Yeah. Drama Cub? Drama Cub.
Drama Cub. But no, yeah. I actually had someone say, like, so your name's Theater Cub, are you a drama queen? I'm like, no.
Yeah, one of my friends way back when, Mike Eversall, when I first knew him, he went as Red MR2 Boy on IRC, which is fine, except for the fact that when you spell that out, when I read it, I thought it was Red Mr. 2, which for me meant Red Mr. Number 2, which meant he was into some really weird scat play. And, you know, obviously it wasn't. It turns out it's a type of car, way too small for somebody of his frame, but he loves them, so. Thankfully, the internet wasn't as mature and sophisticated as we are now, so I don't think many other people came up with scat as a result of that.
It's not as wide-ranged as it is nowadays, where everything is kind of
sexualized.
Yeah, definitely.
Wow. All I got to say is...
Go ahead, Jeff. I was just going to simply say, and if you should find at some point, let's say 5, 6, 7 years down the road, you've picked a nickname, and lo and behold, culture, societal, you know, vocabulary changes, and suddenly your nickname is, you know, a reference to a horrific act. Don't freak out and just figure out a new one if you need to and change it. But, you know, recognize the legwork that's going to go into letting everybody know what your new identity is, because you don't want to be connected to, you know, whatever this new thing is that you're like, hell no. I don't want to be remembered for whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's that. With that, I couldn't really think of any poll that would go along this line. So
I know we mentioned poll the whole, week. Yeah, I know we had kind of mentioned, like, what is your screen name or something like that, there's just too many. Yeah.
No, well, why don't we ask people what their pet peeves are with online names?
Yeah,
there you
more
go.
Of a survey sort of thing. So won't be something that you actually go in to do a poll for. This is something that you would just shoot us an email for. cubsoutloud@gmail.com. Let us know or leave us a voicemail at 361-265-8255. That's 361-COL-TALK. With that, I think it's time for this.
Yes.
Live on Craigslist.
Craigslist. Bringing the best of love and less to you.
Oh, yeah.
So much love.
Yeah. And so much love. And believe it or not, I've got one this week. not saying it's good or anything, so I thought I'd get it out of the way.
It's definitely time for a gay gasp.
I want... Make sure to bend your fingers backwards. I want to finger you.
Okay.
Male for...
That's kind of personal, don't you think?
Male for woman, South New Hampshire. So I went all the way over to New Hampshire for this. Let's just meet somewhere. Your car or mine. Wear a dress or a skirt, and I'll use my finger or three to make you feel good. I know what I'm doing and how to do it. Be real and be serious. And be in decent shape. Trust me, it will be fun. As I said.
And then I will drive you somewhere and kill you.
Just saying. Those New Hampshire people are just crazy. Sure, you go into a car, they'll finger you, make you feel good, and then they'll take you out into the fields and chop you to bits.
Yeah. There's not enough information for me to go, okay, I believe that. That'll just be fun. Yeah, no.
Well, I just, just for some reason, the I want to finger you under male for women just seemed...
Interesting.
So, as I said, I didn't say it was the greatest one or anything. It was going to win or anything, but there we go.
It's good.
That's my submission.
It sounded hot to begin with, and then just took this really weird turn.
Yeah. Oh, goodness.
Damon, you're next on the list.
Okay. So I have to... I think it was Robert Darden who posted this on Google Plus or not, but I was at work when I read this and just died. And I am so glad I emailed it to myself, or else I would have lost it because it's no longer on the web. This is from Seattle. And I believe it was in Mail for Woman, It was in Rants and Raves. But the title is "To the Woman Who Crapped Her Pants in My Car."
Oh dear.
Oh, this has got to be good.
We met on Craigslist, so I'm hoping that this post finds you. I know that it could be quite possibly the most humiliating first date that you have ever been on, but I'm willing to look past that. I thought we had chemistry sitting at Six Rivers sharing that basket of hot wings while drinking the chili beer. I really felt like there was a connection there. I found you to be intelligent and witty and looked forward to further conversation with you. At some point in life, everyone has gambled on a fart and lost. It just happened to be on the first date in the passenger seat of my car. Please don't feel bad. The package I sent you with Pepto the next day and a note that said, "First dates are always a crapshoot, call me," was meant to be funny, not offensive. Wow. I have gambled on a fart and lost on multiple occasions. The first time I did it was very memorable. It happened when I was 5 and sitting on my uncle's lap. I am lactose intolerant, but love cheese. I probably win 95% of the time, but I don't think anyone wins 100% of the time. That's why they keep gambling. I'm the last person to judge you for crapping your pants. In fact, I'm impressed by your boldness. The timing, on the other hand, could have been a tad bit better. Like when you're not sitting on a heated leather seat.
Ugh.
What I'm trying to say is that if you want to go out again, I would be more than happy to take you someplace where we can get a meal that is high in fiber and less taxing on the digestive tract. I await your call, Tad. P.S. If you sat yourself on purpose to end the evening early, end the evening early, touche. Wow. Yes.
That's a pretty desperate move to pull out at the end of a bad date.
I know. Wow.
I... I think that could probably be cut down to just like the first sentence or two, and then all the rest of it should have been said in private. Like when they re-meet in person.
Yeah,
it's revealing far too much and making me very uncomfortable.
And that was the point.
What a world we live in.
Yes.
Yes, and mine, I like to think that my post was actually written sometime in the late 1970s, because it would be a little less heebie-jeebies inducing of that time. Mine comes from Delaware. It's Central Y Saturday afternoon, man for man. Oh. To the guy I jacked with in the sauna, thanks. Wish we could have finished. To the guy that fucked me in the steam room, thanks. Felt your load in me the rest of the day. You have a really huge dick and it felt great buried in me all the way. Sure would love to do it again. After you pulled out, the black guy watching us slammed his dick into me too. Thank God your cum lubed my ass for his thick dick. Didn't take him long to shoot either. God, I love this place.
Wow.
Okay, just to clarify, this was on Craigslist.
This is on Craigslist for yesterday from Delaware.
Oh my god.
Was it like a misconnection or?
Yes, this was a misconnection.
Okay. It didn't sound like a date.
Yeah, kind of not really a misconnection though, if they've already jacked in a sauna.
Yeah, jacked in a sauna, and I guess that was the misconnection.
But I love that he's like trying to connect with two or three of the dudes that he fucked that afternoon.
Nice. Exactly.
Wow. All right, so here's my thoughts on this. The post doesn't faze me, except for the reason I had to clarify was this is on Craigslist, which is public for the world to read.
Right.
You know, if this was posted on a site that had cruising listings or
yeah,
like then it would make more sense that you would post it because it's a community that's about hooking up. This is just the world. So now everybody kind of knows your business.
Mm-hmm. Well, is anonymous, so we don't really know anything about the guy who posted it.
Unless you respond.
Except that he sits in a steam room and had sex with 1, 2, 3, 4 people in one afternoon. It's just, particularly being in a steam room, it sounds like it's a health only crisis three. Waiting to happen.
It was only three.
Yeah, the guy.
There was a guy he jacked off with, the guy that fucked them, and then the black guy that came in afterwards.
Okay, right? Three. Yes.
So he's not that big a slut. It's not four.
Wow. Damon to the rescue.
And I mean, I guess he could be considered a conservationist since he's using lube, cum as lube.
Yeah.
It's like you're not getting all those nasty chemicals going down the waste.
Yeah, that's it.
Right, and his interactions are a public service, you know, to the local community to allow less stress, I guess, to be existing. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, alrighty. That one's just awkward, Gary.
Well, the title of mine is the most riveting part, probably. Fist me or not to fist me?
That is the question.
Yeah, well, and that's what the beginning of the profile says. That is the question for you. I am a young man that loves to get worked over and fisted all night. I want someone who has fisted before or is experienced with anal exploration. Be gentle, know what you're doing. Pushy people, don't bother. Hit me up. It's pretty
don't you
short.
Have to push
it's,
the fist.
What's that?
Don't you have to push the fist?
Yeah.
Well, that's why I picked this damn post. Because the best line out of the whole short thing is, pushy people don't bother.
Yeah. And it's also kind of, you know, ironic. Well, is it ironic?
Cause yes.
Because you're saying pussy people and you're kind of pussy.
Yeah, I'm envisioning like a leather sling now that's on a winch, and then somebody's hand just being held in the air, you know, covered in Crisco, as the winch slowly lowers it down.
Nice.
I'm sorry.
As someone, okay, I'm not trying to say anything about my personal preferences, but having been a person who has been to demos of different interactions between people, it just made me laugh when I read that one sentence, pushy people don't bother. And I was like, okay, apparently somebody has this issue. And what I think they mean is don't be pushy about trying to hook up or, you know, something. But what I was thinking about is how if he's receiving, he doesn't want someone to be aggressive in this act. which notably, David, I think you would have to agree. I don't know you that well, but in certain situations that would be unwelcome.
Yeah.
And can become a problem.
Yeah.
And would end up probably leading to Damon's you know, situation that he read about in Craigslist. Yeah.
Yeah, there's so another good topic for us. Where do you go for dinner and a date with somebody who wants to be fisted?
Oh, no. Ooh.
Definitely not the Chili Ranch.
I think we'll probably have to have Alan on that show.
Yeah.
So do we think we have a clear winner on the Craigslist?
Damon's got it.
I'm going to have to agree with you. Damon,
yeah.
You won.
I think we get to Damon, but here's the thing. The food that was described in Damon's clearly indicated to me why it happened.
Hot wings of beer.
Chili beer. That's the part that got me. I was like, oh, well, while you're at it, why don't you just, you know, drink hot sauce straight?
Eat some laxatives, you know, just go for it. Just, you know, take it.
Mm.
It's going to happen, unfortunately. I give props to Robert for posting, because he posted it on Google. And I was like, that is awesome. I have to remember this one. It'll be perfect for Craigslist. Love on Craigslist. Because it is kind of a love story, you know.
Because
it was their first date.
First date, you cupped your pants in my car. I'm so happy.
I don't judge you. I want the whole world to know how much I love and accept you.
Exactly.
Aww. Yeah. So sweet. Moving on.
Just think about the talk they give at the new IBS conference.
All right. So moving on into our links. Eric?
Eric.
Well, my link is pretty simple. I love Legos, as you know, and I got to spend a long time talking about Legos yesterday with my autistic nephew, who has really been pulled out of some of his autistic issues by Legos. And so I've included a link to, it's about 10 minutes long, a documentary piece on a fully Lego house that's been built in England. And it's just really interesting to see this full two-story house. Everything in it is Lego.
Wow.
They actually, it's fun. They get some real estate evaluators in to evaluate how much they would put it on the market for if they were to sell it. And then an art dealer, and it's a... It's just kind of refreshing and light and interesting to see, you know, this group of people built this house, I guess, over a couple of years.
Wow.
I'm just looking at the pans around it. It just, I can't wait to see. Oh, my God.
It's hilarious, too, because he tries to stay there for a full 24 hours. So he sits on a chair, and, of course, it's Lego, so it breaks.
Oh.
But like they point out, it's... perfect for ecology because if it breaks, you just snap it back together again. Legos never break.
Wow.
Well, wouldn't you use some type of adhesive to keep them together?
Well, what if you have guests coming and you have to take two chairs and put them together to make a sofa?
Well,
oh my goodness.
Well, I don't think I would be very amenable to, like, cooking.
No, as they point out, where they're evaluating it for property, one of the big complaints they have is that there's actually no cupboards or sink in the kitchen.
Wow. I mean, obviously the visual appeal is kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, granted, I'd probably eventually go crazy with all the colors constantly, but other than that, it looks, like I said, it looks stunning. And I'm just literally, I can't hear it right now because I'm intentionally muting my speakers for some reason.
Yeah, you don't want to listen. It's it's traditional British documentary stuff, so it's very snorefest.
Nice. Then good. I won't listen.
The bed looks small too.
I would have to say it's really something to look at. To me, though, I think it would be perfect as like an art installation piece.
Yeah, I'll spoil the end there. The art installer said it's worth £500,000, which would be about $1.25 million.
Wow.
Hmm.
I wonder how many... Does he give, like, a number? Like, how many Legos? How many...
No, the creators, it was done by a local Lego club. They do a brief description with one of the ladies from the group, and they don't have a clue how many Legos they used.
Wow. They just built and built and built and built.
Yes.
Interesting.
It is pretty wild.
Yeah. Hey, you can play chess.
Yeah, I'd be a little nervous going on the second floor. I mean, they've got a little documentary guy, but you see him when he sits on the sofa and the rest. I'd be afraid to go right through that floor.
Well, yeah, you did bring up a good point because when I watched him, you know, I'm watching it also right now. When he went on the second floor, I thought, I wonder how they're able to support the weight.
Oh,
but
wow.
They've got to have something for reinforcement. So maybe the external structure has some type of adhesive.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I'm. I don't know. I mean, I just saw the scene where he like gets his foot in the stocking or the slippers and sits on the little chair and then like down there on there's a couple people on this, I guess, a bed or sofa or something. So it's interesting to see like what's actually working, what's actually not. Alrighty. Yeah,
definitely more of an art installation, if anything.
Yeah.
Fun. Oh my god, he just picked up the Lego cat and put it on this chair. Wow. Okay. Good pick, Eric. Very interesting.
Thank you.
Alright, so I'm up next. Mine is incredibly short. In fact, I don't even know. I think it's like 15 seconds.
16,
but yes.
Oh, excuse me.
No, 15.
Technicalities. And here's the thing. This particular video I had not ever seen. But then again, apparently I'm a nitwit and I'm way behind the times because as much as I've heard of Adult Swim and Robot Chicken, I really haven't ever watched it.
Oh.
And I came across the whole series of Star Wars spoof, like, set, like, you know, sketches that they've done. And this one in particular made me laugh so hard, I started to cry. And I couldn't. So every time I watch it, it just makes me laugh. I can't stop. and it's not very long and it's not very appropriate. It's called With a Side of ... And basically, Admiral Akbar and Mon Mothma are having lunch together and they're ordering. So I'll let you watch it and see why it's so funny.
It's a good one.
David gets it.
Oh, goodness. Oh, nice.
It's got to be one of the best, like, fast quips I've heard in quite some time.
Yes, it is.
So of all the things I've watched online in the past week, that was the one that stood out to me that I wanted to share with the world and let them have a little moment of fun or humor.
Hilarity abounds. So for me, again, either a Google Plus or a Facebook post that I found. This is Defying Gravity Storyboards by Heidi Jo Burt. And it happened to just be what it looks like is there's an artist or a cartoonist on Heidi Jo who wants to make Wicked an animated movie as opposed to a live action movie. And she created a storyboard for Defying Gravity. And honestly, I could totally see it. I could totally see it. I could totally see it working. I could totally see it being a really awesome movie. And I hope someone actually pays attention to this, because it makes perfect sense. The thing that people have really hate about musicals is, oftentimes they're not really based in any kind of real life. Hairspray, of the movies recently that have come out, Hairspray to me is the only exception that I've kind of been like, it allowed me to suspend my disbelief, and Dreamgirls a little bit. But the Rent one, I really didn't like. I mean, I liked it, but I didn't. And then there are other ones that have just been like, they're just not. Although it works on stage, it just for some reason doesn't work in a movie. And making a musical animated kind of changes that. If anyone has seen Enchanted, that
movie from a few years ago.
Yeah. That worked for me too, just because it was, they put it in real life but they also had the animated part, and it was fun and perfect. But making Wicked a animated movie, I think, would be perfect. You can add more special effects and make it animated, and it could be so much fun. And this just little, I think, 2.5 minute storyboard and it's not even the whole Defying Gravity song, it's just the ending, and it's perfect. It's beautiful. I could totally see it. Watch it. You'll understand.
Cool.
Yeah. And even with the rough pencil drawings and whatnot, I could visualize just how wonderful that could be. And that's it.
Thanks. With that, that's the end of the show. Yes, I don't have anything to pick this week. There's plenty of ways to contact us. Let us know. Shoot us an email about anything. Right now, we're primarily looking for information about what's your pet peeves, or what's your suggestions for the better user IDs. So the goods and bads of user IDs and handles. Shoot us an pop over to our website, cubsoutloud.com. Leave a comment in the blog. Shoot us an email at cubsoutloud@gmail.com. Leave us a voicemail. We'd love to actually hear you say something. would like to not just hear us talk. 361-265-8255. That's 361-COL-TALK. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/CubsOutLoud, facebook.com/CubsOutLoud, or g+.2/CubsOutLoud. Pop over to Bear Underground. Join our Bear Underground group. We'd love to have you on there. You can find me anywhere as Box Cub, Box Six, Box Puppy, something.
The boxes. I am Theater Cub 79 on Bear 401, our Bear Underground. And I actually, as of last week, just joined Twitter. Or not Twitter. Tumblr. Tumblr. I'm on Tumblr. It's Theater Cub 79. Props to Gary and Jeff for finally convincing me to get back on, or get on
for
there.
God's sake, sir.
It is a not safe
for
work.
Have one just so that you can easily
page, FYI.
And you can reach me as GamerBear75 on Bear Underground, GamerBear on Bigger, or as Eric Patton on Google Plus.
And you can pretty much find me anywhere as GearBear73. That's GearBear73. Anywhere on the web.
Not Gear E Bear.
And with that, Care Bear. Anyways, say goodnight, everybody.
Goodnight, everybody.
Goodnight, everybody.
Yay.